What else do you want me to talk about? Not after that dream. So we're going to live by faith. The topic is living by your faith. Now you can tape it. Living by what? Your faith. Acts 4:11. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scripture when he says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the what? Cornerstone. I gave you this thing now. I'm still waiting for you. Has now become the what? Cornerstone. 12. Verse 12 says, there is no salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which you must be saved. I want to tell us the truth of the matter is that Jesus is the only sure foundation. Any faith that is laid on Christ will stand. Any faith that is laid on Jesus will overcome anything. Any faith that is laid on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we have continuous victory. I don't care what that thing is. It's not going to bring down that faith. Because the sure foundation is Christ himself. And I'm telling you, church, that we must learn to put our faith in Christ alone. In Christ what? Alone. He is the only foundation. There's no other foundation. There's no other foundation. You can't put your faith in men. I was saying last Sunday, there is nothing like this man is anointed. It's all rubbish. It's not true. And then you follow him. You think God is doing something because of some kind of imaginary power God dropped into him. That's not true. That's absolutely not true. Everything God is doing through a man is doing because of the faith the man has in Jesus Christ. Let me repeat it. Everything God is doing through a human being is not doing it because of the human being. He's doing it because the human being has faith in who? Come on, talk, church. Faith in who? Christ Jesus. There is no human being that God has given any special power to be doing things because he's somebody in a particular position. It doesn't exist. Peter said, it's not our holiness and it's not our power that made this man to rise. He said, it is faith in the name of Jesus. There is no other foundation upon which you can lay faith except Christ Jesus. And when the early church was praying in the Acts of Apostles, when they were praying, they said, God, behold their threatening. And they were praying that they are going to go out and preach the gospel. What did they tell God to do? They said that you will stretch forth your hand that's to do signs and what? In the name of what? Your son, Jesus. They didn't say, anoint us. So we can do, no. He said, it's the name of your son, Jesus. We need to be bold. Make us bold. Because they are threatening us with fear. Can I hear amen? Amen. But signs and wonders will be done in what? The name of your son. In the name of your son. In the name of your son. There is no signs and wonders that is not done in the name of his son. What brings it to bear is the faith you have in who? In this Jesus Christ of Nazareth. For without him, nothing happens. Without him, there is nothing that was created without him. There is nothing that God does that is not done through him and for him. He is all and all. And I'm begging you, stop putting your faith in men. Stop. You say, God gave him gift. Stop. You don't understand the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's why you talk all these kind of things. And when he teaches, you won't come to hear. You won't come to learn. Those gifts of the Holy Spirit is still called the manifestations of what? Holy Spirit, not manifestations of people. It's the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and he does it when he wills, not when you want it. You don't switch it on. Like, oh yeah, come and see me on Monday, I will switch it on. There's no such nonsense. You don't tell God when to do what he wants to do. God says, nobody gives me advice. Can I hear amen? He said, when they preach the gospel, God confirmed me with signs and wonders with the gifts of the Spirit when he wants it. He wasn't doing it every day. It was when he wants it. If he doesn't want it, he doesn't do it. Can I hear amen here? God will not do anything to glorify a human being, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I'm pleading with you. Bring back your faith on the rock. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking. The power, the spirit, the entire power of God, the entirety of divine power is vested in the name of Christ. All of it. And that's the only name that at the mention of that name, every name what? It doesn't bow because of you. Doesn't bow because you have one kind of so-called power. It bows because of the name of Jesus. So that Jesus will be glorified. And the church begin to enjoy the benefit of his glory. God won't do anything here because of Pastor Chinedu Emmanuel. What? Are you kidding me? After service, ask my wife. She will tell you about me. After that, you may not think God will do anything through this man. The same thing I can ask your wife about you too. All these things, we put good grace out. Our wives know us. We know our wives. Don't forget about this. So, chasing people is chasing shadows. Yes, there are people who have revelation of the truth who can teach you. As long as they are taking you to Christ, as long as they are pointing you to who? Jesus. That's the correct thing. But if they are pointing you to themselves and the power they have, the Bible calls them thieves who come through the window, drawing disciples after themselves, and not making Christ, from whom all things come, the cornerstone. And let me tell you something, church. If you are defeated by sin, I want you to listen. If you are defeated by sin, if you are struggling with sin in your life, If you are defeated by anything at all, it is because your faith against that thing has not been soundly on Christ. That's all. You don't fight sin by a determination to do better. That is putting your faith in yourself. You won't do any better. Forget it. When Jesus told Peter, I said, Peter, do you know you are going to deny me? Peter said, oh God. After all these years, I'm your senior pastor now. How can I do that? He said, okay, no. He said, wherever you die, I will follow you to the end. I will follow you the rest of my life. I will follow. And Jesus said to Peter, you don't know what you're talking about. The enemy has obtained permission to sift you. And by the time he's finished with you, you will recognize yourself. What is coming is greater than you. Only I can handle it. And they said to him, but I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Peter said, no, sir, no. Forget your prayers, okay, but you see, I know what I'm talking about. And when the thing came, Peter drew up sword because he meant it. He was serious. He said, okay, oh yeah, so the thing is really not happening. He put up his sword and started to swing it right away. He caught somebody's ear. I think he would have caught somebody's neck. So the boy moved, his ear went with it. Brethren, let me tell you. We can get this zealous, and forget that without Christ we can do nothing. And then here comes, look at that. He didn't even take a big guy. He's a house girl. The devil is so wicked. He said, house girl. Then he comes with a small girl and says to Peter, I think you know this man, Jesus. He said, hey, my friend, if I hear it from you again, I don't know him at all. Then the other girl shows up. Read it, your Bible now, children. The other one said, this man is like a Galilean. You speak like that. He said, if you dare say that about me, I have never seen this man. And then he cursed. Not only did he deny, he began to curse. Then, as if it's not enough, the third person came. He cursed himself and the person. He said, if I know this man, then he cursed himself. If I know him, let me see what. That's what he did. And Jesus turned and what? Looked at him. I said, Peter, there goes your strength. That's as far as you can go. You meant it. You were serious. But I'm the strength of your life. Peter, you were boasting on yourself. I told you the enemy is about to attack you, and you were boasting on yourself. And here you end up, not only denying me, but cursing. Not once, not twice, three times. And Peter was writing a letter unto the church. He said, we are kept by the power of God. He's learned the lesson now. He's no more boasting on himself. He's not telling the church, we are kept what? By the power of God. And Christ, the power of God. You have to put your faith solidly on Christ. If you are struggling with sin, let me tell you the truth. Anything, your faith is not sound in that area, it is not squarely on Christ. Period. If you are justice on Christ, victory comes like this. It doesn't waste any time. I told them here on Wednesday, I said, when God says a thing, he's not thinking whether he will do it. He does it. God's not a liar. It's impossible for God to lie. You can stake your life on what God has said. Philippians 3:3, New Living Translation. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly what? Circumcised. We rely, brethren, can we read that one now? What do we rely on? We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human. Now, you may think every Christian will accept this scripture. It's not true. It's not true. Because if God, that's what I thank God for, Sister Loma. She was praying that prayer. I said, wow. She said that God will open her eyes to understand the works of God. I used to be, I mean, even as a pastor for many years, I didn't understand what the scripture was saying. So, because I didn't understand it, what do you think I will rely on? My strength, like Peter. Because that's what made sense to me. But the Bible says we rely. Church, I'm telling you, don't go the way of Peter. Don't go the way of Peter. You will deny Christ before you know. You rely on what? Come on, talk. You rely on what? I didn't hear you. This side, come on. You rely on what? Put the scripture back. Let's get it. The second part. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. Can we say it together now? If you don't, you are going the way of Peter. Yeah, man. And the enemy knows where your faith is. You might look religious, have all the big titles the world has, but you flop like Peter. People may not know it, but you know that their life is not really glorifying God. That you fall like pack of cards all the time. Why do you think that people go to church and they stay gossip, and they know gossip is not good, but they can't stop. They are being overcome. Like that little girl was hitting Peter, and Peter was falling like a. That's true. The Bible says it trips them all the time. They don't have faith for victory over that thing because they are ignorance of Christ. God said, my people are destroyed for what? Ignorance of Jesus. We don't know Jesus enough that we can trust him only. What Christ has done on the cross, does it even mean anything to many Christians? Did they even put a premium on it? Did they even know it? To rely on it? Is it not if you know something and it makes sense to you, you can trust that thing? Is it not to come somewhere? Philippians 1:11. May you always be filled with the fruit of your what? Salvation. What is that fruit of your salvation? The righteous character produced in your life by who? Oh, I thought you do the production. You produce it, right? Come on, church. No, if you make more effort, you produce it, right? Who produces it? Produced in your life by Christ himself. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. So you can see that we have a complete reliance on Christ Jesus. What he has done and what he's doing now in producing those things by his spirit that lives in us. So that what is required is that faith in him. Is that faith in him? Because you see, I want to make a statement again. Everything that Jesus has done for us on the cross by his death, burial, resurrection, and what he's doing by his spirit today, the only way you can bring it into reality, into your life, is if you believe those things. If you don't believe them, they're not showing up. And you can't reproduce them. We can't reproduce them. The only way you can bring spiritual realities into the real world is by faith. If you don't believe anything in the spiritual realm, it's not coming to the reality of real life for you. Nothing. It won't happen. So instead of pushing Christians to do better and do more, why don't you teach them how to believe so that the spiritual reality of what God has done will become real in the natural life for them? When God told me, he said, stop teaching people what to do. Teach them what to believe. I didn't understand it for a long time. I said, Lord, what? We should teach them not to commit sin. And I said, all right, enjoy yourself. Then he said to me, what you are telling them, they don't have the ability to do it. They know it's wrong. He said, are you telling them anything new? What are you telling them they don't know is wrong? But they are struggling with it. Because they don't know the way of victory is faith in myself. For whoever puts his faith on him shall not be put what? Shame. See, they don't put it on him and they are suffering shame all the time. So don't you see you should teach them how to put their faith on him so that they'll not be put to shame. Because faith on Christ is the faith that brings you victory in any area of life. I don't care what that is. So instead of pushing you to do something, is it not better to teach you to believe so that in believing you will experience all that Christ has done and what he's still doing, and it is those hand of God that will keep you where you'll be and won't fall. And that's sustainable because now it's not your effort. Because if it is your effort, the enemy will weary you out. How many of you are following me here? If you are following me, say amen. Amen. So the faith in the Lord Jesus brings a sanctifying experience in the life of a Christian. It's not what you do that sanctifies you. It's what God does that brings that sanctifying experience. That's cleaning up experience. In another way, the scripture put it, he said, your mind is renewed. Then your life is what? Transformed. So look at Acts 26:18. To open their eyes, that is amplified, I'm reading amplified. To open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light. To open their eyes, to open what? So if the eyes is not open, they are turning nowhere. Simple grammar. To open what? Which means God has to open your eyes so that you can turn from the dark things you are doing to what the light wants you to do. If your eyes is not open and they are telling you what to do, you are seeing nothing. You can give it mental accent, but as soon as you leave that compound, you are doing exactly what you used to do. Because your mind has not been transformed, renewed. You can't be transformation doesn't come by determination. It comes only by renewing your mind so that you can begin to put your faith where it should be, and then that your faith will activate the power of God that moves you to do stuff. Can I hear amen? Amen. I was so thrilled. I was studying the scripture. You know the scripture that says that the spirit of he that raised Christ gives life to your what? I used to think it was only for healing. And as I was studying, the Lord said to me, reading this verse. And I'm reading. He said, therefore, because of this now, you are no more obligated to your flesh. I'm going, whoa. He said, yes, because my power takes control of your flesh. And your flesh cannot respond even to sin. He says, my hand. It's my hand. He said, read it now. He said, therefore. And he said, what is therefore? He said, not connecting to the first one. That the spirit gives power, life to your mortal bodies. He said, is it not by your mortal bodies you do stuff at the end of the day? He said, take hold of that. And therefore, you are no more obligated to do what your flesh wants. That's why the Bible says it is by the power of the spirit you put to death the desires of the flesh. When it takes hold of you, gives you new desire. In fact, desires die. They die. Can I hear amen? Amen? So he says to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may thus receive what? Forgiveness. Come on, man. Move. Forgiveness, 19. And release from their sins. And 18. Did you get 18? And they receive forgiveness and release from their sins and a place and portion among those who are consecrated and purified by what? Faith in me. Faith in Christ brings a sanctifying experience. It brings a purifying experience. Because when you trust God, God goes to work. And begins, what does it mean, a sanctifying experience? It begins to open your eyes of understanding to see the truth of God, to know it. And as you are knowing Christ crucified, the truth, the more you know, the more it's setting you free from all this nonsense, the more your character is what? Change. And as it's changing, God becomes real to you. You are no more imagining whether, the problem is God, people don't even believe in God. Who come to church? People don't believe that Jesus is real. You know, I gave this example. T.L. Osborne, a very great preacher, preaching the gospel. If somebody tells you, T.L. Osborne, you don't believe in Christ, he will say, what are you talking about? How can you say that? When I went to India to preach him, sold all my, gave my life to preaching Christ, how can you say I don't believe in him? But he went to India to preach Jesus, and the Muslim said, all right, how can you convince us that Quran is not the word of God? The man didn't know what to say. He packed up his equipment, came back to America. Went into the room, locked up himself, and was crying. I said, Lord, I couldn't prove you. The man was crying like a baby. He said, Jesus, I could not prove to them that you are the Lord. Now, that, what will I tell them? I couldn't prove you. I came defeated. Brethren, listen to this story. As he was there praying and crying, do you know the answer God gave him? Jesus walked into that place, stood before him. Guess what T.L. Osborne said? Wow, Jesus is real, oh! This is a man who was preaching him. Why did he say Jesus is real? Because all these years, I'm telling you people, this is the problem many people have. They're doing religion. If Jesus becomes real to you, you can't put your faith in a human being. It's not going to happen. How can you see rock and go and be put in flesh? It's not possible. The reason we do all that, we don't know him yet. It's not real. I mean, if somebody tells T.L. Osborne of all people that he really didn't believe indeed Jesus. Will he believe it? But all that Jesus did was show up and say, I am real. I'm real. You don't believe in me. You don't think I'm real. So you're not seeing my power. How can a man who went to preach Jesus say, wow, he's real? What is he confessing by that? I've been talking from my mental something. You know, you can get excited and get involved in something because of your mental accent. Your spirit may not latch onto it. Then he packed and went back to India. He now packed because now Jesus is what? His faith in Christ has come alive. So he now went. He said, yeah, I'm back. He declared crusade. They said, okay, you're back. Prove to us that Jesus is real. He said, bring all the lame people, all the blind people, all the sick people in this town. Jesus will heal them right now. He said, in Jesus' name, eyes were opening, lame were walking, they were throwing away their Quran. You see what I'm telling you? It's not by what you do, get better, be more holy. That's a work of men. But when God takes over your life, it's a different story, I'm telling you. It's a totally different story. So the power of Christ came alive because he said, who has believed our report? So that the arm of the Lord, the arm of the Lord was being revealed all over that place. And you couldn't stop T.L. Osborne anymore. Anywhere he would go, he said, bring all the lame people. Bring them. And he had incredible ministry preaching Christ crucified. Do you know it's the same way that the power of God will explode in your life? And you become an evidence that Jesus is alive. Even where you work, your job. I'm telling people the truth. I had that dream. They wrote it in my heart. J-E-S. I still see it. And they said to me, preach my son, that's the message. Because that's the foundation of it. Do you know why Jesus appeared to his disciples? Because if he didn't, they would not believe he's real. So he kept appearing. He said, touch me now. What was he trying to do? Because it's difficult for a man to believe in what he doesn't see. Very difficult. I'm not kidding you. Say really serious. I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, you know this is difficult. I said, men don't relate with what they don't see. He said, yes. That's why I sent my Holy Spirit, that through my word, he will make my son real. Say, but the church is not concerned about my word. They are looking for miracles and signs and wonders. And all they do is solving problems. They don't care about knowing my son. If you want to know him, I'll reveal him to you through my word. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
So the gospel proclaims three things for us. I kept telling you. It proclaims forgiveness. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Proclaims what again? Come on, church. Proclaims what? Freedom. And proclaims what? Empowerment. Let's go through that again. Number one, what? Forgiveness of sin. Number two, what?
Freedom.
Number three, what? Number one, what? Acts 13, 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So the gospel proclaims that our sins are forgiven. Why is it forgiven? Because the blood was shed for the sins of the whole world. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Romans 3:23. For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard, yet God with undeserved kindness. God with what? Undeserved kindness. Declares that we are righteous. If you don't like it, leave Christianity alone. That's what Jesus did. That's what he achieved. Yet God with undeserved what? Kindness declares that you and I are what? Righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. Let the church say, amen. We say we depend on what Christ has done. This one of them. But it may not make sense to you. Because you might really, how can he? Of all the things I've done, that's why he died. That's why he shed his blood. Walk and wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood. When you sing it, do you believe it? Do you believe it? You know we don't believe it. So we think that I have to fast to impress him. You know what drives all that we're doing is to achieve righteousness. There's nothing that drives all that killing yourself, giving yourself long fast, locking yourself in the room, all that. We want to achieve acceptance. Am I right? Come on now. Do you know that every religion, the reason they kill, do all these things, is to achieve righteousness. They want to achieve acceptance. So they say, if we kill infidels, God will accept us and give us 76 virgins. That's what people do. Christians do that a lot. Again, Jesus is not real. The word of God means nothing. But God said to us, by the deeds of the law shall no man be what? Justified. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And they say it's obvious. Can I tell you about your life? You know now. I have to tell you. I know myself, you know yourself. If God didn't give us righteousness as a gift, tell me how any of us can achieve it. Is it our daily goodness? Is it our 100% perfection? How else do you achieve it? Think of it. If God didn't give us righteousness, how do we draw line to a God whose eye does not see sin? It's a consuming fire. We can't survive. Who can survive here? None of us. So the only way left is for God to come and do it for us and give it to us on account of his blood. He said, you don't deserve it, but I give it what? To you. So that you can now draw nigh unto me. So when you draw nigh unto me, I begin to walk in you and take out this and take. Because I can't, if you are far away, I have to walk in you, I live in you, walk in you, dwell in you, make you to will. And to dwell and to do of my good pleasure, I begin to renew. I begin to talk. I have to have fellowship to walk with you. So I begin to talk with you and teach you about life. So that by the time I finish and I will present you, you are something different. Totally different. Now he's walking in him, and this man goes to a church where they teach laws and religion. And they tell him, you work on yourself. He leaves the work Jesus is doing, he trusts in himself. And he's in a dead end. Then somebody comes and says, no, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher. It's from him all goodness come. He's the one at work in you. You are not the one working. Just trust him. He that started these good works will complete it. And he keeps looking. And God says, yes, that's what I told you. Look unto me, all you ends of the earth, and be ye saved. For I'm God, there is none other. And he's looking from where his salvation comes. From where his salvation comes. And then he that is able to keep us and to present us is doing that which he comes to do. And he trusts in the works which Jesus what is doing. And because he trusts in the Lord, he will not be put to shame. And not only is God changing him, giving him wisdom, teaching him his ways, so that when people make trouble for him, instead of him talking back, he uses divine weapon of love, which the world thinks is foolishness. They say, no, you overcome evil with what? Good. But because when he didn't know God, when he was a religious man, he didn't know that. But now his understanding is coming where? Yeah. So when they step on his toes, he said, you know, I love you. Somebody looks at him and says, you're such a useless man. Why did you do that to me? He knows what the other person does. That you overcome evil with what? And then his wife does something to him. Say, honey, love you. And they never say, that man is so foolish. If you know what the wife did to him. When he said, honey, I love you, he brings God into it. For God is love. Can I hear amen? Because he knows in whom he has believed. And at a point, that I love you, the woman will come and do it again and start crying. The power of God will hit him. The glory will hit him. I say, my husband, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. What is happening? He gave God a chance to fight the battle. And God doesn't lose any battle. But his ways of fighting it is not by touch me, I touch you. His ways are past finding out, but they win all the time. How did he get you and me? It wasn't by confrontation. It was by giving his life. Today we're following him. Wherever he goes, he's now our Lord. That's the same way he wins everybody over, by his love. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
My time is up. So he gave us righteousness. Do you understand why he gave us righteousness? How many of us have received that righteousness? If you have received it, are you happy about it? Amen. Continue to believe that. Continue to believe that. Amen. Then he set us free from the power of sin. This is very interesting. Because I was saying to the Lord, I said, Lord, you know all this, we die to sin. I said, you need to show me how to illustrate this to me. Because if you want me to teach it, you got to show me how. And he did. So I'm going to show you too. Amen. Look at Romans 6:5. I'll show you how God redeemed us from the power of sin. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised. I'm reading New Living Translation. Today, King James people got not one verse. Their prayer didn't work. Not even half a verse. Emeka, you people should hold your meeting. Okay, so we're reading New Living. Since we have been what? United with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. Verse 6. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ, so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Verse 8:7. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Let's stop there and see if we can illustrate it, and then we can carry on from there. I want to borrow my wife's red cap. You know, women, winter is over now. Winter is over. Thank you, honey. Okay, let's see. Lord, you need to help me here. Now I'm the Reverend Doctor Bishop. Let me use this to illustrate any of us, including me. This is who I was before I came to Christ. I had this nature, right? Come on, church. So I'm just illustrating. And the Bible says this nature is sin itself, sinful by nature, controlled by Satan, slave to sin, right? Okay. They have finished me. My wife said to use black. You are going back to Kulobi. Make your husband wear black. Oh, no lunch. Israel will take me to Chinese restaurant. You know, I went with Pastor Israel to his bank. I found his bank is next to Chinese restaurant. I said, really? While we were there, I said, can we have lunch? I said, is that what you do? Okay, so this is my nature, right? Everybody's old nature before we come to Christ. It's the nature of sin. Okay? Am I right? And then wearing this, I'm a slave to sin. Now, if this is dirty, what does it attract? Flies. Right? So this sinful nature naturally attracts spiritual flies. What are spiritual flies? Satan. It's sinful nature. It's sinful, no? So it attracts Satan. Because Satan dwells where iniquity is. That's why the madman of Gadara were living in the grave. So this thing attracts Satan. And because he's sinful by nature, Satan has found a partner. Because now when he wants to do evil, it comes to this, and this one will cooperate with it. Because by nature it is what? sinful. So what has empowered Satan now? When you have a dirty thing, what attracts flies? When they come, where does the fly stay? Right? So this thing has the nature of evil, and so it attracts every evil. Now, when I come to Christ, the Bible said that Jesus was made sin for us. He became what? Sin. So on the cross, he became me. Right? He was made sin, huh? He who know, who knew no. So what was that sin he had? It's our sin. So the Bible says our sin was put on him, right? So he was now crucified. Right? So if my sin was put on him, God, can you come for a second? If God can represent for us, he's wearing red now, so it's like blood. So if God can stand here and represent, just stand and face them. No. Turn on. God is now on the cross representing Christ, right? And my sin is put on him, right? My sin is what? Yeah. What is God carrying now? Is it my sin? Because if he's not carrying it, then my sin was not put on. But he was made sin. Remember, not sins. Sin. The nature. So he became our nature. So this, my nature, is now him. Is that right? And then he was nailed. And he died. And then they carried him to the tomb. Just steep, so they don't see you. So now he's in the tomb, right? Now, church, let me ask you a question. Listen, what was crucified with Christ? Listen to what happened. And in the grave, sin cannot come out of the grave. So here it is. And Jesus came out without the sin. Listen to this. So Paul said that church must know that when he died, we died with him. That our nature of sin was what? Because he became sin for us. And by taking off that my sinful nature, that the power of sin has been destroyed on the cross. And when he rose, he didn't have any more sin, right? Now, where is he now? What is he now? And by being in me, I have received his nature. Created in true righteousness and what? Holiness. So when he rose, it's like I rose with him because he came out without sin. And my sin has been taken away. So he comes along, lives in me, gives me his life that came out without sin. So I now have this life of Christ, which is pure, holy, and righteous. And Paul said, reckon ye that this is true. That you have died with him. When he died, your body of sin was crucified there. When he rose, you too rose because sin was littered right there. But sin couldn't come out. But Jesus came out. Because they said that death could not hold him because he committed no sin. Sin was in trouble. But Jesus came out without sin. The Bible says he's coming back without sin. So he came out without sin. And now he gave us that life that has no sin. So me too is like I rose. My old nature died, is in the grave, and I came out now having a new nature. Is anybody following me? Yes. Now, what happened to our old enemy that used to come fly? The power of that enemy has been also broken. What attracts him is gone. So, by one single swoop, we were delivered from our old nature of sin. And deliver from the power of Satan. Amen. One single swoop. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then not only that, the records of sin against us, the blood came and so there's no record. Is anybody protesting? Now there's this old enemy that will sneak up to you and say, hey, Remember what you did before? Call yourself a Christian? Are you? Do you think you believe? And you are doing so, so, so. The Bible says, we have a high priest. Somebody shout hallelujah. Who is the propitiation for our what? He said, I'm writing to you so you don't sin, but if you sin, he is before the Father, ministering with his blood for you. So that because of his high priestly ministry with his blood, you can still come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy. Because he's continuously ministering on your behalf. He is now your high priest ministering because his blood speaks greater things than the blood of what? Heaven. It doesn't speak condemnation. It speaks justification. It speaks mercy. He says, so you can now boldly come before the throne of grace to obtain what? Mercy. What does that mercy do? Because of the Lord's mercy, we are not consumed. And because of the mercy, sin can consume you. Not only because that mercy will begin to transform you and change you to overcome that thing. It's the mercy of God. It's the mercy of God. You are dealing with something, but the mercy of God is working. The grace is working. It's working. It's working. It's working. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will complete this, which I started, because nobody can take you from my hand. I don't have time to read scriptures today. But next Sunday, by the grace of God, we'll continue from here. The Bible says, reckon ye that your old man was crucified with him. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah. He was made sin. Boom, 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 boom. Yes. He died. And when he rose, I too what? Rose. We dropped sin in the grave. The enemy thought that they got him. But what they didn't know was that they were helping us. How many of you understand what I'm saying? You got it? Yeah. That's a Lama's prayer. Say, God, reveal our eyes to understand the works of God. I am delivered. Praise the Lord. I am delivered. By his blood once I was bound, by the chains of Satan, hallelujah, I am delivered, praise the Lord. I'm a brand new man, old things have passed away, I am born again, more than a conqueror, that's what I am, I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new. Now listen, before we sing, please listen, church. You see everything I illustrated here? If you don't believe it, you will not experience it. Because faith is what makes this thing bring it into reality in your life. The day you start believing the works of Christ, that your old sinful nature has been what? Crucified, and that has given you a new life, your life starts changing towards that. Changing towards that. Because as a man thinks in his heart, you start becoming that, you see it working in your life, you see it becoming real, and you realize that, whoa, all the old things that used to bother me, they are dropping off, they are having no more effect. Because truly, truly, they were crucified. But you have to believe it, to experience it. So you see why the more important thing is your faith. The scripture said they are not sound in faith. That's why they are doing what they do. We must be sound in faith. And that faith must be only on who? Christ. Let's rise up.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.